Blog Talk Radio.
Readers Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio. I am your host, Lisa Watson, and I hope for everyone out there that celebrated the Thanksgiving holiday that you all enjoyed it and that you're back safely from your travels and everyone has recovered from all those delicious meals. I know I have. We've got a lot of ground to cover tonight, so I'm just going to jump right in. My guest this evening is well-versed in a myriad of different topics, interests, and passions. She believes that one should, besides being entertained, also get something out of reading a novel. And that is an understatement, believe me. Her new novel is The Witch's Market, and that comes out in December by Kensington Books. She's written many notable novels, including Secret of a Thousand Beauties, Skeleton Women, Femme Fatales, The Ninefold Heaven, which is a story of an ex-spy and nightclub singer undertaking a dangerous journey to look for her long-lost lover and son, Peach Blossom Pavilion, a story of the last Chinese geisha, Petals from the Sky, an interracial love story, Song of the Silk Road, an adventure, love story with a $3 million award on Chinese's Dangerous Route. My guest has also written for major Hong Kong newspapers and has appeared on many national and international television and radio programs. She immigrated to the United States in 1992, and besides writing mainstream and women's fiction, she also is a professional player of the Ku Chin, which is pronounced just like I said it, Ku Chin, and that is a Chinese zither, the most revered of all Chinese instruments. And she was recently invited by Carnegie Hall, as a matter of fact, to perform in a festival celebrating Chinese culture program. She had her solo goddess exhibition, at the New York Open Center Gallery. She's held calligraphy workshops at City University of New York and the Metropolitan Museum of Art. She has lectured extensively at Oxford University, Columbia University, Beijing University, University of Paris, Vassar College, Williams College, and many others. And in addition to that, as if that wasn't enough, she's also a children's book writer and illustrator. Her two children's books are Chinese Children's Favorite Stories and Grandma Panda's China Storybook, both by Tuttle Publishing. She's received a PhD from the University of Paris in Sorbonne. She is an accomplished calligrapher, and in addition to that, her novels celebrate heroines that have real-life struggles against the odds. In times when choices may not have been that plentiful, these women were thrust upon paths that were not of their making, yet in the end, they are able to persevere, finding happiness in the successes that they deserve. And so tonight I give a very warm welcome to Ming Mei Yip. Hello, Ming Mei.
Hi, thank you, Lisa, so much for having me again. I really enjoyed all our previous interviews.
Oh, well, thank you for being on. We always love having you. And it's great to have you back. And, you know, when I met Ming Mei a few years ago, I was fascinated when I was speaking with her because, you know, her life really does sound like its own novel.
And, thank you.
And that old saying, truth is stranger than fiction, at least for Ming Mei, seems to be true. So before we delve into your unique stories and experiences, I'd like to give listeners a chance to learn a little bit about you and that I may not have covered, and to discover your passion for writing and a little bit about some of your talents and accomplishments.
Thank you. First, I think language is very, very powerful. If you can conquer language, sometimes you can conquer a lot of things. And this I have to thank both of my parents because they contributed to my passion for writing, music and painting and calligraphy. I want to name one incident when I was a child, about 7 or 8 years old. One time my mother took me to see a Chinese opera performance. And when we were on our way, I saw the moon, the crescent moon hanging in the sky. And then I pointed to my mother. I said, "Ma, look at the moon. It's like my clipped fingernails." And my mother was very surprised and looked at me. "Oh, wow, Mingmei, you're going to be a wonderful writer." Okay. And that actually planted something in my seed, in my young mind, because then I thought I'm going to be a wonderful writer. And this is, I thank my mother for that, and my mother and my father, because he came from a scholar's family, and he was not quite a scholar himself, but he was a singer, actually. And he always boasted to me when I was very young that all his cousins got their PhDs. And they are professors, in very prestigious universities, including the University of Pennsylvania. And that really kind of planted something in me. And when I grow up, I want to write books too, And I really have to thank them for all this.
Wow. So, Mingmei, let's talk a little bit about your latest novel, The Witch's Market. Tell us about Assistant Professor Eileen Chen and her journey from a San Francisco college and how she ends up in the Canary Islands.
Okay. I want to say something about how I was inspired first to write this novel. Mm-hmm. When I started writing a novel, first I need to have an idea. Only one idea for me is enough for me to start a whole novel. Even I don't have anything about this novel yet. So
right.
I have a favorite author, a Chinese author from Taiwan. Her name is Echo Chen. And she traveled a lot, especially, and she lived in Africa for a long time. That was about, 30, 40 years ago. So it was something very unusual for a young girl to live there. And she also lived in the Sahara Desert. She wrote an article one time, but not about Africa. It's called The Witch's Market. So I saw the title, and the article was very short. She's describing the witch's market in Bolivia, actually. And I was so struck by this article. I mean, the title is such a magical title. And then I said to myself, okay, my next novel will be called The Witch's Market. But at that time, I had no idea what to write yet, idea at all. But I think, I decided to write. But since I know something fair amount about shamanism, because, of my research on Chinese culture, not so much as about witches, but my protagonist, Eileen, actually, she came from a long lineage of shaman, because her grandmother was a shaman. And suddenly one day she discovered she has some supernatural abilities, and this actually based on an incident that happened to myself many years ago. I went to a concert, and actually the concert, the musician that I know, and I really dislike her a lot because she's not a very nice person, and her style is so pretentious. So I look at her strings. I said, why don't those strings just break and she just can't continue to play? Because the style, she's just so annoying. She's a very annoying person. And you know what happened? I kind of stared at her strings for like 3 seconds, and the string did break.
Oh, my.
And it was very scary to me. Because, I talked to myself. I said, why don't the string break, the just couldn't continue, but I didn't really mean it. You know what I mean? Because I'm not a mean person.
It
did break. And that moment was so surrealistic. I didn't know whether it did happen or I didn't have the supernatural power.
Or you kind of spoke that into being, right.
Yeah. But it did break. And that was very scary to me. And then I talked to myself, maybe it was not even very ethical, to do this stuff. So I never try that kind of thing again because I was so scared and it was so surrealistic. So I wrote this incident into my novel, The Witch's Market, So my protagonist, Eileen Jung, she had this, similar experience, and then she was so scared, and then that's why she decided to find out more about her supernatural power and meeting with the witches in the Canary Islands. And for the Canary Islands, she chose that one is because in a dream, she had a lot tree, so-called, you know, an ancient tree talking to her about those virgin witches, you know, in a, in a certain area in the world. And then she researched all this in the library and found out that Canary Islands kind of have all this. So that's why she decided to take a year off from her teaching and goes to the islands, you know.
Right.
She goes to the islands to, and she did, she does run into some witches. So that's all, and a lot of adventures, of course, and twists and turns in the plot, you know, that happen. Actually, during her travel in the islands, she meets with a castle owner who tries to seduce her. She also meets with a mysterious widow whose daughter, you know, drowned in a mysterious lake called the Past Life Lake. And she also runs into a furniture maker and an old crazy sculptor. And, of course, witches. That's the, you know, the basic plot of the novel. It's a lot of adventures. Just similar to all my novels, a lot of adventures and twists and turns, you know. And, you know, the external journey is also, of course, the internal journey of the protagonist.
Now, Mingmei, you're well known for writing engaging stories in exotic locales. In fact, in Nineful Heaven, you take readers into the exotic world of 1930s Shanghai. The heroines in your novels are spies and musicians and geishas and even a Buddhist nun. So tell us a little bit about your most recent novel before this, Secret of a Thousand Beauties, because I don't think I've talked to you about that one. So tell us a little bit about that one.
That one actually started with a ghost bride, if you have heard of that. I mean, this is a custom that Chinese, they marry ghosts, or sometimes parents, they arrange ghosts to marry each other.
Is
I tell you a very recent incident, actually is a real incident. I haven't made this up. Is one of my friends, he just told me that he had two sisters, twin sisters, who died when they were babies, like, you know, babies, you know, very young. And 20 years have passed, and the babies came into the mother's dream. The mother's dream, and told the mother, now we're adults. You know, we died when we were babies, and now we're adults. You know, we're 20 years old. So we want husbands. We want to marry and have husbands. So ask the mother to arrange marriages for them. And Chinese believe in dreams, and there's a lot of dream interpretations in this novel. I mean the witch's market too. So Chinese believe these are real. This not, you know, fake. Because why would the babies, they died for 20 years, they never came to the mother's dreams, but only now they came to the mother's dream and told the mother that they're lonely, they want husbands. So the mothers went out to find mediums, you know, who can arrange so-called ghost marriages. But since the two daughters, you know, are dead, so the mediums had to find two brothers also die at the same time as the two, you know, baby daughters. So finally, they did find something. So they arranged ghost marriages for the two pairs.
Wow.
So after that, the daughters never, you know, came to the mother's dreams again to say anything, because they supposedly they are happy now.
They were happily married.
So this is a long tradition, and it's still alive today. The tradition is still going on today. And so my Secret of a Thousand Beauties, my previous novel, is about a ghost bride. So, but this is a little bit different ghost marriage, because one side, one party is alive, is the bride. She's alive. But she was forced to marry her fiancé, who died at childbirth. The fiancé, they engaged when they were children. But the fiancé died at childbirth, but she was forced to marry the ghost as a ghost bride. Why? The reason is because she was forced to marry to be a ghost bride so she could take care of the parents-in-law forever.
Oh,
as a free labor.
Goodness.
Yeah, that's what happened. And she ran away, and it's a real marriage. I mean, the ritual. I mean, the not ritual,
right,
the ceremony.
Right, so as far as everybody else
is real.
Concerned, everything
is
actually
real.
Off
but,
the market, and she's
yeah,
a married woman.
But the ghost
woman.
Bride, the ghost groom is represented by a white cock.
Okay.
Okay, she ran away on her wedding night. Ran away. She had some tricks. She did some tricks. She ran away from wedding night. The next morning, she ran into an embroiderer who recognized that, because she was still wearing her wedding gown. So the embroiderer recognized that the wedding gown was embroidered by her and her other, her other embroiderers. So she took her in, this ghost bride in. And then later on, of course, I mean, a lot of adventures. And she became a famous embroiderer. That's the basic storyline of my, Secret of a Thousand Beauties.
Wow. Before we go too far, I want to let our listeners know that the live chat session is open. You're welcome to comment or ask questions there. You can call us at 646-200-4071. And after the live show, I'll post the podcast and recap blog to readersentertainment.com. And I know many of our listeners out there would like to check out Ming Mei's website while we're chatting with her. You can find her at www.mingmeiyip.com, and that's MingMeiYip.com. So, Ming Mei, you're so good at so many things.
Thank you.
Have you taken up any new skills or hobbies since I spoke with you last?
Good question. Yeah, I've been doing, playing the chin, calligraphy, and painting. Actually, I would very much like to learn tea ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
Tea ceremony, because I really like tea. However, there's too many tea experts, especially when I went to Taiwan this summer. Every single one can do tea ceremony. So it kind of, I lost my interest because too many people are doing it. So now my new interest is I turn to divination.
Mm-hmm.
There is an ancient Chinese classic. It's called the Book of Change. In Chinese, it's called the I Ching, or I Ching, some people pronounce it. It's a book on divination, 3,000 years old. But now we study it as a book of philosophy. We learn about wisdom. Actually, I incorporate a lot of Chinese wisdom into all my novels, because I want people not just being entertained, they want to take something away, life wisdom, to help with their life. So I put a lot of Chinese wisdom, and including, I have a chapter on the little bit about this divination based on the Book of Change. And so this is what I'm trying to learn now, is to do divination, based on this Book of Change. Yeah, and I have an excellent teacher who's my husband. Because he's an expert on this ancient Chinese classic, and he has a book published. It's called by Oxford University Press. It's called Teaching the I Ching. Yeah, so I can learn from him. He also can do divination, including tarot cards and different kinds of divination, not just based on these I Ching books. So that's my new interest now. Yeah.
Wow. Neat.
Yeah, and I did a book cover for his, Teaching the I Ching by Oxford University Press. I did the cover. Image for this book, and I'm going to do the second cover image for his second book on divination. Yeah.
Now, for those of you out there who may not have read Ming Mei's books yet, you definitely have to check out her novels and definitely check out her book covers. Each of them is just incredibly beautiful and very vibrant. And so, Ming Mei, tell me a little bit more about your book covers. Do you design all of your book covers?
Oh, no. I think as authors, we are not allowed to do that, because Kensington, actually, they have a designer for all the book covers, and the lady, her name is Christine Muse, and she's really extremely talented. Yeah. She's very, very good, and she designed all my book covers.
Very good job, because they're just
amazing.
Yeah,
I really like all my book covers. Yeah,
and they kind of, really look like they represent what your stories are about.
Yeah, no, they did really good, really talented people.
Now, you're on the go a lot. Between, you know, you and your husband, you guys are really on the go a lot, and you've gone to many cities, many countries. What do you do when you kind of need to escape from it all and have some downtime yourself?
That's a very good question, because I'm so lucky. As I said, I have to thank my parents again and my husband too. I'm so lucky that I can do things I really, really enjoy, like writing novels, because actually my husband always say that I don't really live in this real world. Actually, I live in my head. because I can create a lot of things out of nothing. It's just based on, you know, my imagination. And I really enjoy writing, you know, playing music, doing calligraphy, painting. So this is already my escape. My work actually is my escape. I don't need really to escape to something else. My work really is my escape. Of course, I mean, we do take vacations because we're just two humans after all. But actually, when I go to vacations, I always bring my computer to write, and I bring my painting and calligraphy brush and colors, all this too, so I can also do calligraphy, you know, I mean, small works, you know, for fun. And so, so during my vacation, I'm doing all these things, so I don't know what escape is. My reality actually is my escape in a way. But one thing, I do like to shop. I do like shopping. Mm-hmm. But I only shop for two things, purses and thermos. So it's a kind of
purses
odd thing.
What was the second thing, Ming Mei?
Thermos. You know, to
really?
Hold hot drinks. Yeah, because actually I have a whole collection of thermos.
Are you serious? Oh my gosh.
Yes. The reason is I love containers.
Oh.
Any containers, including like pencil cases, containers. Mm-hmm. I just love containers.
Wow.
I think if you use some kind of new agey concept, it's because when I was a child, I mean, until my teenage years, I was deprived of a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
The reason is because my father was a gambler. He gambled. Mm-hmm. He literally gambled away everything in the house.
Right.
Including the house itself, the apartment.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was really deprived of a lot of things as a child and as a teenager too. So I started work at a very young age. I gave piano lessons when I, you know, 17, 18, I guess, you know, to children.
Mm-hmm.
I started to work very young because everything was gambled away in the house. So
right. That's
why I think that might be the reason that I like containers a lot. Purses, thermos, and purses because I put in a lot of money. For thermos, because I put in a lot of warm drinks, hot drinks, especially Chinese herbal teas.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot. And the herbal tea is not just herbal teas. I put in a lot of like chrysanthemum, date, and goji berries, all kinds of stuff. It's very tasty and sweet and warm, which I like. I really like. And I also like pencil cases and also some kind of, not really cosmetic box, all kinds of boxes I like. That's why I like to shop for is purses, thermos. But all those, the antique boxes, but of course you can't really go out and shop for antique boxes. But I also have a collection of antique boxes. You know, I just like containers. That's what I like.
Wow.
I mean,
that's
I have
pretty
a lot
neat.
Of purses. Oh, containers,
so
I can put things in. I just like containers, I can put things in. I just love
whole things. So what
whole,
you're saying, Ming-Mei, is you probably have a whole room at your home that's just nothing but containers and stuff.
I just like containers. That's what I like.
So I just, and by the way, I just looked up your husband's book, and I love the cover for that. That's really
neat.
Yeah, I
did that one.
You designed that one yourself? Wow.
You mean the teaching the I Ching, right?
Mm-hmm.
Teaching the Book of Change. Yeah, I did that cover, yeah.
Wow, that's really nice.
Thank you. Thank you a lot.
So tell us what you have in store next for your readers.
Actually, I'm writing a very sexy book. Yeah, that's my next project. And I have a lot of calligraphy project too, but I don't want to spend time to talk about that. But
right.
My next book is a very sexy book based on some kind of ancient sex manual, ancient Chinese sex manual. Yeah,
okay.
But it's also a lot of adventures and, you know, that kind of thing. It's my, yeah, that's what I like to write about.
Right. Now, you obviously love research because all your novels, you know, have so much history in them and are very detailed and expressive. And, you know, from what the women are wearing to what they're doing to, you know, where they are in the world. So tell us how long it really kind of takes for you to research a novel.
As I said, I first have an idea. Okay, one time I said I want to write about a spy. Then I start to research on spies. But I don't depend my research purely online because, you know, online is a lot of wrong information.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you want to be serious, you can't just do online research. But for quick stuff, I do online research, general stuff. But for detailed things, I always depend on not only books, but scholarly books because, you know, the chance they're wrong is much, much less
right.
than, you know, general kind of
right, than finding
so
it
that's
on
what
the
I
internet.
Do my research. Sometimes I have to track down a book. And it's not easy. It's not easy to track down a book because it's some subject is not like My Skeleton Woman is about female, you know, spies, a female spy, you know, and female spy, Chinese spy. It's not easy to find this subject, but but it's just good luck. And then I happened to track down a book on spies, and then they have only two female spies in that book, but they won't have any book just on female spies. Not possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did get one, but on general spies. I mean, not just Chinese, but Westerns, you know. But you have to, you know, that I can, of course, research online, and then I track down, and then I buy the books, and then I, you know. But I always depend on scholarly books to do my research. I mean, the real research, not the quick
research.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Now, are there any upcoming events that you'd like to let listeners know about?
Yeah, actually, it's tomorrow in New York City. I posted online, you know, if people are interested, they can, you know, scroll down to see I posted, you know, and I'll talk about my book, The Witch's Market, and also all the things that I wrote in my book, like Underworld Tour. I'm sure you never heard of that, you know, and, you know, some kind of channeling, you know, beings from the other world, all this kind of stuff I'll talk about tomorrow.
Yeah, and I've actually heard about all of that, so that's pretty cool.
Tomorrow I'll talk about all this.
Let listeners know how to get in touch with you.
Please, like my author page online, you know, just Ming Mei Yip, I guess you can go to Facebook, type my name. I have two pages. One is the author page. The other is my profile page, so you can either request a friend, you know, be a friend or go to like my author page. I'll post a lot of information and also my artwork, everything I post online to share with my readers, you know, and friends.
Right. And you have a very detailed, very incredible website. So again, for listeners out there, if you want to check out Ming Mei's website, definitely do that. She's got a little bit of everything, and it's all wonderful. So go to www.mingmeiyip, and that's MingMeiYip.com, and definitely check her out. So Ming Mei, thank you so much for joining me tonight. It has been such a pleasure having you back on the show and getting a chance to speak with you about your latest novel, The Witch's Market.
Thank you so much for having me again, Lisa. I appreciate
it. Oh,
that.
Anytime. Definitely. We'll have to have you back.
Thank you.
No problem. I would like to thank our listeners here for joining us tonight at Readers Entertainment Radio. Don't forget, you can find us at readersentertainment.com. You can stop by. You can leave a comment about tonight's show. We'd love to hear from you. For those out there that may have missed the show, you can definitely check out the podcast at any time and the recap blog for Ming Mei's show. I am your host, Lisa Watson, reminding you to always be inspired, be happy, and have a wonderful weekend. Good night, Ming Mei.
Good night, Lisa. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This show is brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.